Is this going to be on the news tonight, too?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, RSD has a lot of good ideas about inner game, and when I looked over my notes, I realized I really couldn't teach them to you because I'm not that smart. So instead, I decided to talk about, like, what I got out of it and how it's helped me. And what I found most helpful is this, I'm titling this, The Secret to Approach Anxiety. Does anybody have approach anxiety? If you're not raising your hands, I've had it for a long time. I know Chancellor knows that I have. And you know, we've been in this a long time. This is probably my second year. We've read a lot of books, we've tried a lot of things, lots of secrets to overcoming approach anxiety, lots of techniques, lots of ideas. But nothing's really clicked for me until now. Until now it finally made sense. And I thought that was extremely valuable because something like
that
used a lot of time.
Was it a class or something? Clicked outside?
I think it is something I learned at the RSD conference. It's kind of part from that and part of what I put together like soon afterwards. I guess they kind of influenced it. It started the gears turning. That sort of makes sense. So what we're basically going to talk about is how to overcome approach anxiety. And within that, maybe some useful concepts that we'll cover. Now, let me ask you this. You guys have been out in the field before, right? Been out. And when you're out in the field, like, as soon as you go out there, you get ready to go, you put on all your clothes, you walk out there, get your cologne. How do you feel? Do you feel like...
Before I get into the venue.
You feel what?
Confident before I get into the venue.
But then when you get in there, it kind
then
of...
I'm like,
lost.
Yeah?
I start getting nervous as soon as I enter through the doors of the club. All
right, you get in there, there's hundreds of people who are talking, and you get real nervous. And, does anybody know what I mean when I say state? Your state? Like how you feel, your confidence levels? So... when you initially go out, how is your state? Do you have a good state? Do you feel confident? Can you not wait to start talking to strange women? You just can't wait to jump right in there? Or do you feel maybe kind of shy and, let me see. You want to talk to them, but you don't really feel like you can. You're nervous.
Maybe like before you go in the
when you first get there.
Well, I mean, it depends on, like, what happened to you, you know, during that day before, you know, like at work or at school or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, like, any small thing could just totally throw you off.
Yeah, definitely. If you had a day where you didn't have a good day, you spent most of the day at home, or you're working all day.
Yeah, like an argument with one of your friends or with your parents or whatever.
Yeah. So... When you go out, does this sound familiar? You go out, and the first thing you do, rather than do an approach, is you'll talk to your wingman about game, or you'll go get a beer, or you'll say this is a sausage fest, or you'll say there's no sets here at all, and you want to go somewhere else. I've done that. And, okay, the first thing I want to tell you guys is that this is normal. This isn't just you. I went years thinking that I was abnormal for being shy when I went out in the field. But it's not abnormal at all. This is how you're supposed to feel. It makes sense. Your mind's trying to fight you for a lot of reasons. One reason is trying to preserve energy. If you've been alone all day, your mind has already been helping you in your solitary activities. It doesn't want to spend the energy to have you approach women. It's trying to help your survival. Your mind thinks if you survive this long without approaching women, then why should it change and allow you to talk to them now? And then there's the evolutionary psychology theory. In caveman days, if you went out and you talked to women in your tribe, and they were the chief's women, the chief would kill you, or they'd kick you out of the tribe, or if you blow the set and you're chode, then all the women will tell each other that you're chode, and no one...
What's chode
mean? It means AFC.
The British version
of AFC,
right?
Say that. I like show better. But if you're in a 50-person tribe and you talk to a woman who thinks you're a chode and tells all the other women in the tribe that you're a chode, well then you'll never make the new woman, you won't be able to reproduce. And that's very bad for evolution. So your mind is trying to help you survive. And the other reason is trying to preserve your reality. If you approach, you may learn something about yourself that will change your perceived reality. For example, if you believe that you'll never get blown out, and then you approach and you do, then your whole world will come crashing down, and your mind doesn't want that to happen either. So for all these reasons, your mind is trying to keep you from approaching. And if you can go out and never feel approach anxiety, then you might be crazy. And if you can do that, then you may want to seek professional help, because it's really not normal if you can just resist all that. See, I never understood that this was normal. When you go to a bar, you see everybody else having a good time and talking to their friends and stuff. But that's the thing, they're talking to their friends, they're not approaching strangers. If they were, then they would shut down too. So, I wanted to point this out because realizing this and accepting it is the first step to overcoming approach anxiety. And,
first step to overcoming your problem is realizing you have a problem.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't be dishonest with yourself. I feel like if you try to, whatever you resist persists. If you try to lie to yourself like, I'm not nervous, then you will be. Okay. So the first step is to be honest with yourself. If you don't feel like approaching, be honest with yourself and just say so. Say, I'm a chode, I don't feel like approaching. But fuck it, I'm going to do it anyway. That's all. And then you should thank your brain for trying to protect you and trying to tell you not to approach. Say, thank you, brain. You saved my life many times before by telling me not to jump out of windows and drink poison. I know you're just trying to help me. This time, I'll take it from here.
Quick question.
Hey, Narcissia. Yeah.
Is this for like night or day games? Or is this just in general?
It's in general. I think if you're, whenever you go out and you intend to talk to women, you're probably not going to be in the state to talk to them. Unless you do it often. So I would say anytime.
So you're on the street, you're on the bus, and there's like a really cute girl sitting next to you, and like for some reason you can't like bring yourself to like open your mouth and say something to her. You're supposed to thank your brain, thank you.
Let me
know that I'm a
troll. You don't have to say that one.
No, I mean, is that what you just said? I don't know if I understand.
Yeah, your brain's just trying to protect you. Because in caveman days, you get killed for approaching.
So I'm way around to just thank my brain for doing that. And then
admit, realize what's going on, and then do it anyway. Feel the fear and do it anyway. Okay. Now we're going to talk about the nimbus. My favorite thing now, lately. Nimbus is also called state, confidence, having a strong sense of reality. When we have state, we act differently, we talk differently, we move differently. Somehow everything we say is funny and confident, everyone likes us, we're the source of positive energy. Women flock to us without us doing anything. Now, I want to see if anybody knows what I'm talking about. Have you ever like been out and you have a really good time, you have a lot of fun, you talk about a woman, you just feel great, and they just, everybody seems to love you, and you don't know why. Chloe has, or Chan has. Isn't that some kind of weird, like,
yeah.
You can't really explain it? Like, what did I do that's different? I feel differently, and somehow the world around me changes. That's what we call nimbus powers. Tyler explains to me, he gave up on routines altogether, and he realized that the nimbus was more powerful. Now, I wish I could tell you a certain way to move, a certain way to speak, a certain things to say that could convey you have confidence, but the truth is, it's impossible. No one's quite sure what we do when we are in state that makes us everything change around us. Science has failed to explain specific tangible actions and behaviors we possess when we are in state.
Can I add something to that?
Yes.
And there's also, like, I mean, just as far as the stuff that we do know about body language and that sort of thing, there are a lot of things called micro behaviors that you just don't have conscious control over.
Yeah. Micro behavior is the first step in understanding. But I don't think science has really caught up with
it. No, I'm not saying science knows. I'm not saying
we're
figuring everything out. What I'm saying is, like, even of the stuff that we do know, there's a lot of it that you, there's no way consciously to fake it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are behaviors that are too subtle for you to consciously too.
Yeah. Personally, what I have noticed is when I'm in that state, even when the bad things happen, it just doesn't bother me. So later on, I don't even recall that those bad things happened.
Yeah.
So probably the bad thing happens even when I'm in that state, but I just don't notice it or don't let it happen, let it internalize or let it record in my brain in a way.
Right.
So during that experience, only the positive thing comes in, and that's what gets recorded.
That might be reticular activation system, where you focus on the positive things and all the negative things sort of fade into the background. That's something else maybe happens when you're in state. Anyway, it's just magic. I can't explain it. Because state cannot be explained by science, I'm forced to rely on new agey words like nimbus, so get used to them. Nimbus is a magic aura of confidence that people will pick up on subconsciously. Here's another way to look at it. For your own survival, your brain allows you to access more of your personality or less of your personality based on the environment around you. Some of you I know are PUAs on the inside. You understand the theory and you know what to do, so why can't you do it? Who should I pick on?
Oh, PUA Chan. Inside, Joe on the outside.
Yeah. Who wants to be that example?
With crunchy goodness and creamy something.
Niraj wants to be that example, yes. Niraj understands the theory, he understands what to do, understands why it works. He knows what to say, he knows what to do, but maybe he can't always do it.
Sounds about right.
Okay. It says your brain is stifling your personality for your own protection. As your situation changes, our mind is constantly looking around to determine how much of our personality to access to make sure we don't do anything stupid. So your mind usually only accesses the shy part of your personality. In order to help you survive in caveman days, your brain blocks access to certain parts of your personality which might cause you to do something stupid and get killed or not be able to reproduce within your 50-person tribe. But in today's society, there's almost no danger to inhibit your personality. In fact, you're probably better off the more personality your brain allows you to access. Being confident in today's society is almost always a good thing. I want to talk about stifling. This is something you can relate to. Have you ever been in a set and you say you've ran out of material, or you couldn't think of anything to say, or you ask someone to give you an opener? There we go. I know, I've been to myself. And why are we asking someone to give you an opener when we've heard of thousands before? It seems weird. But you notice how this always happens when you have a weak state or a weak nimbus. Whenever you have a good nimbus, you can always think of something to say. Whenever you don't feel good about it, you can't think of anything to say. You're out of material. This is because your brain has disallowed you to access your full personality. That's why you can't have anything to say. And, yeah, that's what I said. But when you're in state, when you have a strong nimbus, you somehow always have something funny and charming to say. And, I was thinking about you said, I used to get wasted and had success through that. I think one of the theories is that alcohol sort of blocks the stifling process, so we stop stifling what we have to say, and we're able to access more of our creative personalities. That's just a theory, though. Okay, we're going to do a stifling test. I need a volunteer who wants to look stupid. All right, Adrian, come here. You're perfect. Okay, I'm going to look stupid, too. It's okay. Okay, I want you to look at everyone and yell as loud as you can.
Denver.
Denver! Denver!
But just yell like a constant noise. Okay, let's try it this way. We're going to start yelling at the same time, but I'm going to cut off, and then you're going to keep going and not stop. And you're going to yell at the same pitch and volume as me, okay?
Alright.
You got it? I don't think we'll... Someone's going to walk in right on this.
What are we yelling
at? Great, awesome.
Okay.
I don't know how long my voice will go over.
How long do you think you could yell? Like, how long can you do that?
5 seconds?
We'll see how long.
Keep going. Clear out front.
Okay. As loud as you can. I'm going to do it too. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Ah! Oh, we have to do it longer than me. That's the point. Let's get someone else to join us. Let's do all three do it. Okay. On three, we're going to yell as loud as we can.
Okay.
I'm going to cut out. I'm going to tell Adrian to cut out, and it's just going to be you.
Okay.
Oh, quick. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Ah!
Wow.
Where'd it stop?
Run out of the breath. Oh, yeah.
Are you sure?
I think so, yeah.
Is anybody else going to try it?
I'll try.
That was the wrong answer? I didn't see it.
Okay, okay. Alright. So I'll do it, then we'll cut down the chain.
Okay.
Nice. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Ah! So we're going to talk about. We haven't got to the techniques yet, but it's a start. Okay, yeah, I'll get that later. All right, how to achieve nimbus? The first step is being present. Being in the moment, being present, communicates high value. RSD believes that routines and strategies cause people to micromanage the interaction, to be in their heads and not present in the interaction. And that seems reaction-seeking and outcome-dependent, and women will pick up on this. Okay, I need two more volunteers to show you guys how to be present. Am I going to the future or the past on you? Okay. You and you come back. You can see a better point. Do you understand what I mean when I say being present? Where you're not thinking of the next thing to say, or if you said the right thing, or what the next step is, or you're using the right strategy, and you're just there, and you're not thinking of anything at the precise moment. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right now I'm thinking of the next thing to say. But we're going to play a game. You can do this at least when you're out. And this will help you be present. This is one more guy. Chang, come over here again. Okay. We're going to do the cube dance.
Oh,
we've done this before.
Cube dance is interesting.
I saw the video. I'll do it with you.
Oh, is this a video? Okay. Yeah, come on, I'll play that. You love me. Okay. Cube dance is like this. I have a cube here. You don't have it yet.
I don't have it yet. Sorry.
I have a cube here. It's invisible. And it goes like this. This is the top and bottom. There's the sides. And I'll pass it off to Neeraj. And he's got it. It's like hot potato. Pass it to somebody else. He's got it. Don't drop it. Don't drop it. Give it to Chan. Careful, it's still a cube. I'm not trying to get it. You bet. Okay. I got it. Okay, I'm going to pass it to you gently. Oh, it's a sphere now. Look out. It's a sphere. It's like this way now. Okay, now stop. Now, are you thinking about these guys and what they're thinking and what anything's going on out here?
No.
Or are you just trying to make the sphere?
Yeah, I was trying to make the sphere.
He's present. Good work. That's my whole point. Okay. That's another good thing. Never mind. Yes. Doing things like that, acting ridiculous, it helps. It helps you be present, helps you have a good time, helps you stomp out your own ego, don't take yourself too seriously. All these things are good. Another way to strengthen your state while you're out is to do something courageous, like approach a set. Approaching a set is courageous. Even if you get blown out, you should pride yourself on your courage. Daring things like that strengthen our reality, let's put. Has anyone heard that expression before? Strengthen your reality? That
What's
crazy
your
time?
Reality? The cue?
In a way it does. Or doing something courageous.
Courageous, okay.
Or daring. Something you haven't done before, it's a risk. But you know what I mean when I say strengthen your reality?
Yeah.
It's like a psychological thing you hear once in a while.
What, visualization?
No, it's like you have your own perception of the world and how things are, and your own values and your own beliefs. And other people's beliefs don't change how you think of things. That's having a strong reality. So it's kind of like confidence.
Can you do this like real world.
Is that a good or bad?
It's a good thing. You want a strong reality. What'd you say?
Can you do this like in a real world? Like outside? Or I don't know.
Do what?
Wear like a funny looking shirt. Or do something that you wouldn't normally do.
Yes, you should.
Just drink.
Yes.
Yeah, to give you more confidence. Basically.
I would encourage that, absolutely.
So is this, when you're talking about this, you mean like you're referring to the thing where like people say like I'm going to suck girls into your reality, is that...
Yes, that's we're talking about the same thing. Because women are attracted to as the strongest reality.
So you want
to
strengthen your reality so you can suffer.
Yeah. I don't want to get in that too much of that territory because it's kind of out of my league to talk about. But you know what I mean. The strength of reality is a muscle you can exercise by doing courageous things. If you think of it as a muscle, like you have to use it, flex it, rip it down, bring it back up, have your reality ripped apart, built back stronger with stronger pillars, being blown out, criticized, amogged, all these things rip down your reality, but when it becomes built back up, it's stronger. So we should change the meaning of embarrassment as an idea is just your reality reestablishing itself stronger. Just learn to laugh at yourself, let go of trying to convince people what to think, put more of yourself out there, think of embarrassment as empowering. There's other inner game stuff I won't get into here, like having your own values and standards, judging yourself by your own criteria and not what other people think, drawing good feelings from within, because that's where you can draw them from. Okay, enough of that. The big secret, this is what we're building up to, the big secret of approach anxiety. Okay, it works like this. The easiest way to have success is to have a strong nimbus. The easiest way to have a strong nimbus is to approach. If you're doing something courageous. The easiest way to overcome approach anxiety is to approach. You always start out the night with a weak nimbus, unless you're crazy and you always have a good nimbus, which I'm very envious of you. As you approach, if you challenge reality, if you're courageous, you'll get stronger. The first approach you make to the night will be bad. Just accept it. Call it your burn-off approach. That's what I tell them that I'm doing.
Say that again?
So the first approach you do of the night or the day or whatever is probably going to be bad because you're starting out with a weak state. And you need to do that first approach in order to get it better. And then every approach you do, the stronger your nimbus becomes. The more confident, more awesome you become, the more present in state, the more your brain allows you to access more and more of your PUA personality.
In other words, warm up.
What?
In other words, warm up.
Warm up. Exactly. That's the wrong another way of putting it. As you start to do approaches, your brain will stop fighting you and start to work for you. It will realize that this is how it's going to be. You're going to be approaching tonight. It'll start helping you out. And you'll feel good. You won't feel bad anymore. You won't feel low state. You'll feel good.
What happens when you're approaching? You get rejected, doesn't it?
Who cares? Why do you have to care?
I don't care about that.
You did something courageous. You approached women, and they saw you for just like a minute. They don't know who you are, and if they didn't like you, that's your problem. But you're the one who challenged yourself, and so you should feel good about that. Kind of doesn't always happen that way, but that's how you should think of it, at least.
Another thing, if I can add in, is think about what your goal is when you're approaching women, and especially in your first approach. Like, if you make your goal to get laid, like the first girl that you talk to, right, you're probably not going to achieve your goal, and you're probably going to perceive that as a failure and feel worse. If you make your goal just to be courageous and approach, then it doesn't matter how she reacts, right? I mean, you had the balls to approach. And you perceive it as a success.
Yeah.
Your goal is just to talk, no expectations.
Mm-hmm. Never have expectations. Because if once you do, you'll be outcome dependent, I think, and then you'll try to control the interaction. You won't be present, you'll be macromanaging in your own head. Yep.
Yeah, I hate to jump in, but the thing that I always thought about when you do approaches is that you do have a warm-up, like the first 3 or 4 sets. You walk in with the same frame you would in the same your other sets, which is I can go for it and I can do this. But if you get blown off, it's less of a knock to your reality because you know, oh well, it's warm up anyway. But if it goes well, then it just jumps you even further.
Sometimes it does go well.
You know, and that's why the other thing was like you open a set within 3 seconds of both getting to the venue because that you walk in, you're weak, but if you force yourself to say okay, well, I don't care what happens, whoever's in front of you, just say hi. That starts you off. But I just don't like walking crazy going, well, this is a warm-up, I really don't care, since then, you're not 100%, you're like normal. I'm 75%, it didn't happen anyway, so I just like perform my expectation. Like that, the same expectation that I want to set, but if it doesn't happen in the first 3, then, that goes on.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So that's why I'm just, it's a little conflicting for me. Just like, I agree with it, but...
Okay.
Yeah, I really don't want to say much because I want to do one, a Mystery Method one. So it's like, I want to save it for that time, but I'm going to say something. This is just coming from Spreda, Mystery Method, which is true what they say. The first 3 sets are warm-ups. You shouldn't give a shit what happens. you shouldn't. And at the same time, I do calls, like my job, and I pretty much have to read a script. Okay, and this is, I found this out. First, 5 calls, I always fuck it up. Bye. Dang, try it again. Make the next call. Fuck, I should have said it better. Within, by the 5th time, I got this. Boom, 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 boom. I got the person just into the conversation. And that's how it is when you do walk-ups or whatever, when you go to approach. The first 3 to 5 are just warm-ups. It's okay if you fuck up. Believe me. By the 5th time, you got it. Because it just comes straight out. I mean, and it's okay to be nervous. Everybody's nervous.
You're putting a lot better than I can. That's
all
right.
I add something to that, though. You said that you should not care about the first 3 to 5, but I say you should not give a fuck about any sex.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So if you're not having fun out there, then you're wasting your time, because it's all about having fun, and the female's going to pick up on that energy. It's all about energy.
Did you
feel your energy?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But we're watching Mr. Demented, the show, the pickup artist. You should have seen this kid. Every set was like, first of all, the first 3 shouldn't care at all, man. At all. And the point is this, warm up and just make sure you warm up, because like they said in the seminar, okay? There's probably someone at the bar, the club, or the street that you want. You don't want to use her as a warm up. You want to use everybody else, and when you're finally good, then you can make that one your goal. You know what I'm saying? That's the real game.
Talking about warm up, from Starlight Academy, your style is something I find pretty helpful with. Before you go out with a friend, talk to him or her.
Yeah.
Warm up. And then another thing I find very helpful is that come to a bar, follow 3-second rule. Approach first set in 3 seconds. What do you think about this? Come straight to the first set. And if I open my mouth up.
Another thing, too, especially for the new guys, we're not used to doing approaches. No matter what happens, those first 3 sets, your energy is going to go up, because it's going to be such an achievement that you're actually going to have an approach.
Yeah, yeah.
Your confidence is going to skyrocket. You're going to get like a huge chunky achievement. So, don't worry. If your stake goes up.
That's what I mean by doing something courageous.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Like
you're doing this.
Just like
you're
doing
it.
I approach.
Yeah,
this
is just
like this. Little cartoon illustration.
Are you drawing a penis? I can't see.
Not everything I draw is a penis.
Oh, okay. This
is where the moon is getting bigger and bigger. The approach you do is you have one approach, and you have 5 approaches. So you're telling, it starts to absorb other people standing around you. They get caught up in the wake of it, and they get pulled into you. You have to approach.
Yes. Has it ever happened to you though? You approach like 5-6 sets, after that, lose the hook, and then your energy kind of die away one of those nights. Have you ever had one of those nights?
If you approach and it does hook, like
yeah, that's a hook. So like
if it does,
like 10 sets, and there's your energy kind of goes down.
Maybe a little bit. Like if you're like on 5 and like suddenly you get blown out really bad, maybe a little bit.
Like once your stake goes up, it doesn't sound really good now, at least not for me.
Well, no,
everybody else, I like a pull on
it. But maybe if your energy is that high anyway, and you get blown out, you won't even care, because you'll feel so good.
For me anyway, it's the point where it's like, if one girl just doesn't really want to talk,
Didn't you say that earlier?
I was there.
Isn't that what you were saying earlier? Like, you're talking about, like, you just remember the positive things?
Yeah, but that starts on a positive note. If something bad happens, but if I start on a bad note, the bad thing will do is that stunts the things.
Yeah. Okay, what else did I want to say? So the first one is probably going to be bad. You shouldn't have any expectations either way. You should never have expectations, but... the first one's the worst, and it just goes up from there. So every approach you do, your nimbus gets higher, you get more confident, your stake gets better. So your chances of success increase. I'll draw a graph for that.
Basically, like a pitcher just warming up, and the bullpen. Getting just warming up, and they feel comfortable.
Exactly.
The thing I just like doing is just like basically. Approach it the exact same way. You don't approach with a lot lower expectation or a different game or whatever. Just think, hi, just get my set over with. And go in, you know, when you practice something, you do it the exact same way every single time, consistency. Because if you don't, you know, even though you get those first three, you know, out of the way, then you'll, well, now I need to do my next approach. Well, I wasn't really practicing earlier, so that's just why I go right.
You talking about, like, saying the same lines or anything?
Well, not even that. It's just like whatever you decide to use. It's just that, like, you're basically saying, okay, the first three are throwaways, and I don't care what happens, but see, I'll give you an example. I was out last night, and the first set at Elton was almost a cake was, and it was throwing me off for a loop. Because I said, I had my brain limiting up, well, this is only warm-up, so I'm not really worried about it, but it was working. And I had to fumble to get back on, so it's just like,
yeah.
That's why I don't like it.
Don't assume it's, be so sure it's going to go bad, and you'll blow yourself out.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going well.
Yeah, so.
Would you use the same lines more than one time, one night?
Yeah. One time.
You weren't here 2 weeks ago when two of the other guys who have been around for a while, Matt and Bruce, talked. And Bruce talked about, or they both talked about, how Bruce would go around and move an entire bar using ulais more.
I think he only ever used ulais more.
Don't use it anymore because it's on the TV.
Yeah.
So screw that.
You know what, it doesn't
mean stuff.
Bruce will still do it, but he'll fucking open.
You know, the contingency for that is that you're all like, oh, you've seen that show? I was just trying to test to see if it works.
Do you mean there's someone actually marrying me? What's going on?
Yeah, what if that, you know, the contingency I need, though, is like, what if your wing uses the same opener? Sometimes, like, if you don't calibrate and say, well, which opener are you using?
You know what, your wing and you should have different openers.
Yeah, exactly.
Should say you use the same opener for every person.
Because that's the fastest way to get busted. You can tell the show you can play that off real quick. Like, my first night.
I can't just say we have that conversation.
Should your wing crew use it after he's blown out, blowing the same thing.
Yeah.
We could probably have a debate about lines and routines.
Yeah.
I'm at a point where I'm dead against them. We would argue, we'd go back and forth.
I've heard and read these stories, and I don't know if you have too, like, where on a workshop or just whatever, like, literally 5 or 10 different guys will all have them approach the same set with the same opener. And finally, like, one of the guys will go, and he's just in a better state, and, like, he'll hook the set with the exact same freedom. And everyone else is like, that other guy was just asking, that other guy just said the same thing. And then, you know, one of them will go and just have a cool vibe, and they'll be like, oh.
That supports my argument, Bo.
Yeah.
My argument is that no matter what you say, your true personality is going to come through. Your
right.
true state, your true confidence. You could have the best line in the world, and if you're not feeling good, or you feel like it showed, and you say it, it's going to be terrible. Or you could walk to them and say the stupidest stuff, but if you're like, if it's have a cool vibe, a nimbus, and it always works. Has anybody experienced that?
Yeah.
I've had that problem before because I'll be in set and I'll be having a good time and I'll think of something really funny and people will laugh because it's the first time I said it, but then I'll save it and then I'll try to use it again.
Yeah,
and then, no, it doesn't work because now I'm just saying it to get them to laugh and like me and now they can pick up on that. It's not true. It's So that's why it doesn't work for me. That's why I can't use lines.
What do you use?
Nothing. I use anything.
Where? Where do you use? Do you have anything in the street, or are you trying to do this at a bar?
Like, when would I reuse the same lines?
And then you would use it again, like right after, right?
No, just like, I remember it, like, oh, that was funny, I'll say it again, like, a week later, just into a different set. Never has the same impact.
I've had like a few situations, and it was like in a club. One time I was with Rob Roberto. And it was like a long time ago, but I was like having a really good time. I was a little buzzed, and there was a girl next to him, and I think she kind of fed off my energy, and she actually initiated the conversation with me.
Yeah, they'll come to you.
So, I mean,
I can't explain
always,
it, it's magic.
Yeah, you don't always have to like have a line.
It's my new
illusion. If you look like you're having a good time, you know, sometimes, you know, no. Stuff.
So, what he's saying is like, if you lose your tooth, so you lose your tooth and you go to your parent, or you go to your mom, like, ooh, mom, you lost my tooth, and she's like, oh, poor baby, and she'll give you a hug, or whatever, and then you, like, you know, whatever, then you go and knock out another tooth, and you go back, she's going to be like, come on now.
Go to the same person. You only got one mom.
So, whatever.
Nice track.
There's also something we said about plowing. You can drag us on forever, so I think we should get back.
I want to say one thing. I used to approach with these really clever lines I was thinking of that were really interesting, like the reality show opener. I'll teach him for once. I can't use him anymore. But it didn't really matter what I said. It mattered how I felt. So here's some examples of openers that I've used recently that have worked. Hi. Who are you? I like you. And I don't like you. Those are not my openers. And they work if you're in the right mood. Okay, let me get back to this graph. I think this graph should hopefully it'll seal the deal on this. Yeah, that's what I've been
like. Those lines will work.
Like those lines that you just mentioned, how you like say it. I mean, it depends on how you say it. Right?
Depends on your so how you feel about it.
If you have like a serious look and say, I don't like you, they're going to take it seriously, so you got to like, you know, kind of be like sarcastic.
Yeah, but also, too, if you try to fake what you're feeling, it's not going to work either. You got to actually, like, think of a salesman. The best way for a salesman to put a feeling inside of his customer is for him to feel it first and project it onto them.
So basically, you can say anything. But if you say it the right way, it'll work.
And that's where the nimbus comes in. If you're feeling in a good state, anything is going to sound good because you're going to feel it internally.
Right.
Now, I will say Mr. Method and Narzi, they are the same in one way. The night game, no, don't use that line. You're going to get blown out. Day game, heck yeah. Day game, Mr. Method, yes. That's one approach you can use. So in that aspect, yeah, the day game is okay. But again, we'll get to that a little later, probably next week or whatever.
I muscled from high yesterday in the day game, though.
Why did you feel bad?
I was just sitting there just because I just wanted to talk to people. So every time somebody passed by, I just went high. Because I was in downtown, I just went high, and I just basically creeped people out. Then I started changing it. Because I didn't give a shit anymore. So they go, hey, Marge, you know, and they turn around. And I'm like, you're not Marge, get out of here. And they'd like, you know?
Where were you?
Who are you?
Me?
Yeah. Where?
I was by Zane's.
Yeah.
So you can finish that. This is one that is, who are you? Say, hey, Marge. And turn around. Oh, you're not Marge. Who are you?
Yeah, that might work.
Well, my point is that the lines I just told you are terrible. They're awful. Don't use them. They suck. But the point is that you can say terrible, terrible lines, but if you feel good, you can pull it off. But if you use the excellent lines, that, you know, thanks.
Okay. Well, isn't that also like the theory of directing? You know, if you have enough confidence, you can say whatever you want.
Absolutely.
And tell the girl exactly what's going to happen. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wait, let me understand this, and I think I get it, because this is not a mystery to me. If you act like the person is supposed to play a part in your play, they will actually go ahead and play it for you.
Role playing?
I don't know if I go that far, because you're still acting, you're still trying to get them to react. So what? How you're acting? I wouldn't quite agree with that. See, I'm more like on the side of like honest or direct game. Just depends on how you feel. Because your true personality is going to come across no matter what you say. I know it conflicts with mystery method. It's okay.
This is pretty mystery. I've gotten girls role playing with me. It would work, but I didn't know where to go from there. So that, again, it's pretty mystery.
So the more you approach, the more your personality comes out?
Yes. This is the graph I was planning to show you. This is approaches, number of approaches, starting from 1 to whatever, 80% of success. Now, if you look at this graph, and so this is your nimbus going up, raising the chances of success. Now, here's the thing. I'm not telling you guys anything you haven't heard before, am I? You've heard about warming up, you've heard about being in a good state. But what really did for me was not just like having this vague idea that happened, but actually understanding it was a fact. Having it verified for me, that's how the mind works. So, let me say, if you didn't just believe this theory, but as a fact, it's a fact that every time you approach, your chances of success will increase. If you believe that as a fact, if you believe that every time you approach, you'll feel more confident, you'll feel good, if you believe it's a fact, how hard is it going to be to make that first approach? If you knew that it was just a stepping stone to get from here to here to here to here, and by you get here, you're probably going to fall. If you knew that, how hard is it going to be to do the first approach? Even though you may not want to do it, you may not feel like doing it, but you know what's going to happen. If you believe this is going to happen, and you'll be able to do it. Well, that's it. That's what clicked for me. Any more questions?
Yeah!
More questions? Come on, Adrian.
So all you gotta do is just approach and stop yourself and just get over the stifling, whatever.
All right, if this doesn't happen to you, if you don't crave them, if you don't feel good after doing approaches, then I guess just come talk to me and figure something else out.
Well, it's probably not gonna be like exactly like that. It's probably gonna zigzag. I mean, sometimes
really?
You might go down, sometimes you might go up.
Maybe more so.
So it's the other graph. I'm an engineer, so I like graphs.
Yeah.
But the other one is, right?
To input.
Sure.
I don't mean to hijack your thing. But the success is to get laid, right, for the night. So if you're here, and no matter what,
notice how it approaches 100%, but never gets to 100%. It's like nothing's 100%.
So if you're at zero, right? And all night you're approaching, say approaches 0000000. You keep approaching. If one hooks, if it's here, or if it's here, or if it's here, that's still a level of success higher than zero. Right? Like,
what is this percentile?
No matter what, you keep going. If one hooks, that's higher than zero.
Yeah.
You've been successful.
So wow. You're saying that one is more than zero?
Why not with that exactly?
You could also accept the salesman offering, you know, just that now gets closer to yes.
Yeah.
Every rejection gets closer to my goal.
Okay. So I got two questions. Yeah,
okay.
So this is everything that Tyler taught you guys to do it.
No.
Okay, so there were some things that you purposely left out, but there's some legal agreements or whatever.
No, I was because... I couldn't possibly relate it to you the way he did, so I just took a...
You just give like a brief, like maybe bullet point of what he was talking about through the 2 and 3 days. This seems like maybe like day one is really material, right? I don't know, it just seems like it's basic stuff. There's some other stuff that he went over.
What do you call those things?
Okay. And then my second question is, can you explain to everyone what the claw is?
Far. That's a perfect example. Come here, I'll show you what the claw is.
Behind it.
Yeah, I'll show you
what
the claw is. The claw is where you walk up to it when you do this. You just claw. Now, isn't it stupid? It is stupid. Because you can do anything. If you're in the right state, you can do any stupid thing you want. It works. That's the whole point. That's what the claw is. It illustrates the concept you can do anything you want.
How many times did you do the claw?
How many times? I haven't tried it, actually. I didn't think it up here.
I guess I have a question. Just from my own experience, from what I'm kind of hearing from you, you're kind of stating that your nimbus goes up the more you approach. And my experience is that when I approach girls, it's like when you're trying to freestyle rap, the more you do it, the more confidence goes down. If you've ever freestyle
rap. Don't you feel good?
Dinron's just goes up.
Or maybe some people are really good at it. But that's my experience. And like, I don't know. I'll go
up. Are you talking about the outcome? Like if the outcomes aren't good, then it doesn't go up?
Yeah, altogether, like getting blown out or whatever. I don't know where to go with it, you know?
You know, this kind of makes sense because like, cutting out alcohol and stuff, but like when I did drink, I would get like really like ADD, and I would end up like talking to a lot of people, and I think like I just kind of linked it to alcohol, and like all the booze that's doing it, but I think it's just the mere fact that I'm like going to New Year's Eve, going around, toasting every single person in the room.
Well, so, one thing about that, I mean, alcohol depresses like your brain that inhibits you.
Right.
So it lowers your inhibitions. So it's sort of the same thing, right? Like the part of your brain that's inhibiting you from expressing yourself, like you drink a little bit, that, you know, that part gets kind of shut down, so you're more uninhibited, right? So you start talking to people. And then once you start talking to people, you get a little bit more and more confident, right?
I think that's the booze that's doing it, so I drink more.
Yeah, it's not all the booze, right? It's just probably the booze just kind of gives you the initial like confidence to talk to a couple of people, but then after a while it's
so what you're saying though is that like it goes
because
up,
the outcome something goes bad, it might press out of your brain.
So just to be honest, I haven't given this a fair chance, because before what would happen is I would approach and I would get rejected and I would just drink more when I got rejected until I would be less inhibited. But now I find that yesterday I went to Funky Buddha and I walk in and I was super cocky right when I'm walking in, and then the second I walk in there, like my confidence slowly starts fading.
Well, did you approach or did you just try to pretend like, you know?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because, you know, a lot of things I say, you know, it goes again with the whole thing you were just speaking about.
Yeah.
The gamer has to be exciting, not just like a uniform. You have to actually feel it.
Right.
You know, you have to try to become that personality, not fake that personality.
Yeah.
And that's what the nimbus is once you start going out and you're making your approaches, you know, that true personality is going to come out. You're going to feel comfortable with it.
You know, walking through your whole Buddha thing, again, so I make sure I got it right. So you're confident
okay,
when
so,
you start.
So I walk in, and the first thing I do is I know the door guy is my old roommate, so I'm just trying to talk to him, kind of like what you said. And then there would be girls coming up to buy tickets from him, because this is next door at the Butterfly. And so I'm like, you know, I try to talk to the girls, and I think the first one I talked to kind of completely ignored me. And after that, I went straight to the bar, and I talked to another girl, and she seemed receptive, so you would think my nimbus would go up, but then her boyfriend was right next to her and pulled her away. And then I went to the bar, and I talked to a bartender who was a friend of mine, super hot girl, and she kind of went away. And I didn't feel, I just kind of felt like alone, I guess.
Well, what were you looking, let me ask you, what were you looking to happen when you went up to those sets?
Yeah, I guess I wasn't.
Huh?
I guess I wasn't trying to open the sets.
No, like, what was your goal when you went in there?
When I went into the club?
What were you, no, when you went up to talk to these people, what were you thinking you wanted from it?
I didn't have anything. I guess I just wanted to talk and be social.
Right, that I'm lost, because I thought it was an outcome dependent.
Yeah, it sounds like you're outcome dependent, because you said you talked to a girl and she ignored you and your nimbus went down. Right?
I mean, like,
yeah, they wanted to feel bad about it.
That's not
the only one. The girl, his boyfriend pulled her away, it's like a positive. He was afraid you were macking on his girl, and he kind of pulled her away.
You should feel good that you talked to her.
I guess the more I'm talking, so the more I'm kind of realizing that maybe I need to change my whole perception when I go out from the beginning.
Reframe. Why? The thing is, if you reject the deal, I always think of it as, oh, or loss. You know, somebody else wants to talk to right behind you. You know, it's kind of you kind of get that in there, but if you get rejected and you take the energy of it's negative, then you lose. Then your nimbus clouds go down. But if you say, well, that's negative, I'm pushing that away. And I'm telling myself, you know, I laugh about it. I laugh at people's faces about this. Like, whatever. And then I go talk to somebody else. Now, here's the best part. The goal for me sometimes is to open their set and then come back to everyone and just boot me off. So what was the big deal? And then, you know, they start chatting with you again. So then they realize, wait a minute, I just want to stand off. They just talking to a girl in front of me. You know? So I'm listening to you. And I was there. I was totally there. But it got rejected. I'm like, damn, what happened? You know, but if I do that, did I lose? Because I lost, you know, that girl basically controls my entire brain. I'm like, no, screw that. You know, so if you reject it, just like, well, I lost.
Yeah, it sounds like you're judging yourself by the reaction the women are giving you, and not by you reaching the goal of being brave enough to approach them, which is where you should be judging yourself. Your approach to girl, I mean, that I talked for a long time about how while your mind tells you not to do that, so if you can overcome that, that's something to be proud of. Who cares what they think? I mean,
the other thing is like, you learn everything from every set. I mean, even the ones you get blown out on, you know not to talk about a certain thing or go in a certain direction. So that's what I always think about. So even though I have that graph, and if you start from a low point, you can go high, I have a bigger graph that I get better every time I go out. Even if I go out one night and I don't get anything, I mean, but I've won every single one. So you learn from every, you know, and that's what I try to keep. I try to keep thinking that, like, the more I do it, the better I'm going to get. Even if I don't, you know, even though I don't get exactly what I want right now, 3 months from now, you know, how many approaches have you done? Who are you talking to? And think about this, you're better than 99% of people out there. I mean, I do public speaking, so this is kind of a retort from that. But, you know, you're braver than 99% of people in the audience because you're on stage speaking. Dapper, he's talking in front of his friends here, but you know, I'm sure you couldn't do it in front of a, kind of like 1,000 people, you know, because that would take practice and time, you know. But
Dapper's gross. I've seen him in this for a year and a half.
So, it's just things you gotta reframe. You know, I'm a very good believer in reframing situations to your advantage because it's your reality. You gotta control what comes in and out. And especially if somebody blows your mouth, just whatever. They're lost.
Just to add a little bit to that, at least from my perspective, I don't mind feeling a little bad getting blown out of a set, or if, you know, I'm in a set talking and I at Barley Corner, I told this girl I dig how flexible she was. It was like out of place and departed, you know. And I felt a little awkward and I stumbled and whatever and got blown out. But I think, you know, like, I don't really mind, you know, that bad, awkward feeling. Like, you know, at the time, I got to, you know, psych myself up for the next set. But when I think about the next day, and I kind of write through what I did, I think it's good to have, you know, at least that internal trigger so you're not, like, some kind of weird psychopath or something, to know that, you know, that was socially awkward and not a good place to sit, you know. So I just want to make sure, at least for me, I'm not on, you know, 100%, you know, full throttle nimbus the whole night. I think when you go into a set, it's great to be, you know, like, you know, on your broomstick or whatever the metaphor is you're going for here, but he's great. Make sure you're still, at least for me, like, one of my hard things is one time I was in New York, went around, opened up, you know, like 5 sets, maybe like 10, I don't know, I was going around, like, I was on this big Charisma Arts kick where I was just introducing, like, hey, I'm Matt, you know, like, real warm. Opened up all these sets, and then, you know, at the end of the night, I'm like, I have no numbers and no girls. You know, I'm feeling great, but I'm not, there's still, like, I can't just be on this high and not know what I'm doing good or bad. So, you know, like, I think going in really warm, 100% in this is great, but make sure you're not just, you know, blind to looking for ways that you can improve and get better also.
Yeah. But I like how when you did something you thought was wrong, you didn't dwell on it, you just accepted it. You were honest about it, but then you moved on. Like, I don't think you should try to be delusional about things that are going on. Yeah. Like I said, like, don't resist things. I put it, I don't know, but
is there anybody here? I wasn't paying attention before, so I'm sorry. You didn't raise your hand with this people get coach anxiety. Never had coach anxiety ever.
Oh. Never had.
Is there been people like that in the group and like
there probably are crazy, yeah. I mean, I can think of one or two people in particular,
yeah.
Well, not named, who don't have approach anxiety and have problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Problems. People out there.
I think they said it best. The best PUAs, even have approach anxiety, even the best PUAs. I don't think there is anybody who doesn't. Like I said, the ones that don't, you just said yourself.
Yeah, probably crazy.
I don't acknowledge I have a portion of anxiety. I just blow through it and just say, okay.
Oh, but you had it in the past.
Yeah, I had it in the past, definitely.
You weren't like an autistic where you're like just not a person.
Well, yeah, no, that's the thing. A lot of people who just naturally don't really have a portion of anxiety, mostly that's because they just can't, like, they don't really have a very good feel for other people's emotions.
Yeah.
They just don't get that they're making people uncomfortable and doing weird shit.
Yeah,
and that's
those guys
good.
Need, like, you need to
you'd
not
much rather, like,
the
have a little fear that you need to barrel through.
Yeah, and the point of that is
be able to get other people's.
Everybody here, everybody who's good has kind of gone through that fear.
Yeah.
So, don't be God about it, but don't get frustrated either, stick with it.
I want to say something else. If you have your technique down, you understand how attraction works, and you've got the basic theory internalized, the difference between you and a pickup artist is really good is that they start here when they go out. So if you can either learn to start there by doing all this sort of inner game stuff that I didn't go into, or even what I did, you know, do how many approaches this is, you know, 4 or 5, and then, when you get there, and then I think that's kind of the only difference.
Four minutes.
What?
So before you do your first approach, do you feel the same amount of anxiety as you felt before, but you know that after first a few approaches it will be less?
Exactly.
Like, do you feel the same amount or?
I feel just as amount of anxiety when you do the first approach, but. This won't take your anxiety away, but it will make you get past it simply because you know that it's going to get better. See, this is what I work for me. Is like, when I understood that this was how it worked as a fact, I know it's how it's going to work. It was just easier just to barrel through it and do that first form. I used to go out and I didn't want to do the first approach, but I didn't realize that it was going to be easier, that it was simply part of the process, that it was normal not to want to do it the first form. I used to think that if I do the first one, it'll probably suck, and I won't feel like doing the second one, it might suck too. But now I just know that it's going to get better. It can only get better. Yeah.
So, is this something that RSD has just tested among, you know, all of their experience, that this is in fact true, or is it dependent upon your belief that this is true for it to work?
I would say both. I think this is how it works for most people. Works for me. Makes sense for me. What?
It's hard to test unless you know about it.
There are a lot of other people who would say that this is just how anxiety works in general.
Yeah.
Like that book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
Yeah.
And some other people who are not.
I mean, it seems kind of like common sense. The more you practice with anything, you get better.
Yeah, but this isn't just practice, it's how you feel. And you're right, it is pretty common sense, but until it was really explained as matter-of-factly to me, it didn't really click. Like, I didn't really believe that it was accepted this as part of the process. It was all just in one ear out the other.
Yeah.
Alright, what time is it, guys?
8:00 past. About 9:00.
Okay.
I want to give out two things, probably. I like what you said. One of the things that you touched was how to be in the present. How many of you have a hard time being in the present? Okay. Here is an exercise. Try it next time. You have different senses, right? Eye is your first, your voice is the second, smell is second, third, taste is third. Whenever you think you are not in the present, try to use more than one sense. So if you are having a hard time focusing, your mind wanders up somewhere else, use more than one sense and you will be at the present, guaranteed. Any time. And the second question is, most of the approach anxiety, there is a book called How to Stubbornly Refuse to be Miserable About Anything in Your Life.
Is that Albert Ellis?
Albert Ellis. And he talks about, it goes to, and I haven't analyzed yet, but I'm trying. That whatever happens in your life, you have a belief that makes it make sense of it. And if you change that, anything that happens to you, you can make it a different meaning for your life. And anything that bad happens, most of the time we feel that they are rejecting us. But if we have something other outcome and understanding that they are not rejecting us, they are just probably they will have something else, it's a totally different outside.
Can you repeat the title? How to be miserably stubborn?
How to stubbornly refuse
to be miserable about anything in your life.
Look up Albert Ellis. He's got a lot to say.
Albert Ellis?
Ellis, E-L-L-I-S.
He's the guy who invented...
rational emotive behavioral therapy.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I'm trying to think, trying to internalize, that they can like me or they might don't like me, but they cannot ignore me. Yeah.
They like me, or they hate me, but either way, they can suck my dick.
Yeah.
Slightly better.
Slightly better. All right, I have a couple announcements. Karen's girlfriend is going to be in Wicker Park tonight. Her name is Brandy. She had fake boobs, really skinny girl. About 5'4". So if you run into a girl like that, do not sorry, Jerry. Actually, I guess we're going to try it tonight. We will. This is just payback. Actually, she already knows me. I don't know if she knows about Craig. Okay. And then we're just going to go ahead and Wicker Park tonight. So whoever's coming out, just come on board. We're just going to maybe get some food and get thrown down a plot. And that's about it.
All right.
Thank you, Dapper.